like it was the flu in terms of...
Welcome back to Season 2 of the Pandemoscene podcast, where we attempt to produce knowledge that orients us towards justice at this critical historical juncture. Our overarching theme for this season is listening to the pandemic. Over this last year, many of our standard modes of collectively learning and perceiving the world have been forced to shift and adapt. In the wake of these changes, we as a team of students at UC Santa Cruz have been experimenting with new ways of sensing our interconnected worlds, especially how we listen and who we listen to. Our aim has been to denaturalize listening. To facilitate this, we have asked ourselves a set of social and ethical questions, such as when we listen, whose worlds are we tuning into and whose worlds are we not tuned into? Whose voices have been amplified over this last year and whose voices have become or have remained submerged? Through having conversations, we have listened to how different communities have responded to the multiple crises of this year, as well as how the pandemic has intersected with movements for racial and social justice. We consider listening to be an act of world making. We invite our listeners to also tune in wherever you are and experiment with us. With a refocused awareness, what new insights may arise about how to connect across divides to learn and live together in the pandemoscene?
Since the start of COVID-19, there has been a 1900% surge in hate crimes towards Asian Americans, according to Time. New crimes are still happening daily, targeting the Asian American community, especially towards the vulnerable elderly folks who cannot defend for themselves. Asian monuments are being vandalized. Just a week after this interview was conducted, six Asian lives shot dead from a shooting in Atlanta spa due to anti-Asian bias. According to the New York Times, the suspect told the police he had a sexual attempt, so he went to the spa to carry it out. Shameful and racist rhetoric are used to discriminate against the Asian American community and to spread hate. Slang such as Chinese virus is a common term used widely by political leaders and the rest of American society. Other terms such as Kung Flu are used as a joke. The series of violent hate crimes and racist attitudes towards the Asian American community are devastating and will leave lasting damage to our nation. Today, we invite Keisha Shao and Dora Ku, who are natives of Oakland, Chinatown. We will talk about their perspective and opinions on the hate crimes towards Asian Americans and about their personal experiences of being an Asian American in the United States.
American college student, and I'm currently an undergraduate attending UC Irvine studying in business economics. So I grew up in Oakland, Chinatown all my life and surrounded myself with Chinese culture from the food to the education, where I attended a majority Chinese elementary school at Lincoln Elementary. I grew up knowing the ins and outs of Chinatown as my family is heavily involved with AWA, which stands for Asian Immigrant Women Association.
Hello, my name is Dora Ku, and I am currently a third-year sociology student at the University of California, Santa Cruz. I am a second-generation Chinese-American student who went to middle school in the outskirts of Oakland, Chinatown. Growing up in an Asian American household and an Asian American community, I have been taught to embrace the unique Chinese cultures and traditions, and I am proud of who I am as an Asian American woman. I am passionate. passionate about social justice and utilizing technology for social change. I have a small business called Shop Moonrose where I embrace my creativity by creating beautiful, unique, and affordable jewelry. These coming months, I plan to donate a portion of my proceeds towards supporting and protecting my local Asian American communities.
So cool. I share a similar background in growing up around Chinatown as well. Can you tell me a little bit about how COVID has shaped you, your family, and your community?
So since the pandemic started, I definitely had to move back home because there was nothing that I was able to learn from staying in Irvine, and staying at school would have been more expensive, so I decided to go back home. So currently I am in an online learning environment, and one thing I have learned while staying at home with my family is that there are definitely greater responsibilities along with your school responsibilities, and to them, it is our duty to do both. So it has definitely gave me more stress because they don't really understand the pressures and stress of attending a university and learning and taking care of all of your classes while having to help them around the house and do chores that they want us to do, because when they were at our age, they were doing multiple things rather than studying. And so definitely that is what COVID has taught me.
Yeah, similarly, after moving back home from college because of the pandemic, like, a lot has changed for me too. I started attending university online through Zoom, and home isn't the best learning environment because there's, like, so many distractions here. Like, there's, like, the adults that aren't in school, if that makes sense. So, like, they don't really understand, like, the stresses of school, and they just expect us to be, like, normal. Other than that, like, I myself is unemployed, and, like, a lot of my family members are unemployed as well. So we're trying to make ends meet with the little funds that we have. And, like, when we go to grocery stores, we're, like, following protocols and social distancing. And I feel like it's difficult for some people because we're not really built to have that social distancing, because, like, we rely on human connection. So, like, it's a lot different than what we're used to.
Thank you for the answers. COVID has definitely shaped family dynamics. Moving on to the next question, what are the biggest changes you have seen in the Asian American community ever since COVID? And what crimes are you aware that are happening towards the Asian American community ever since COVID-19?
Growing up from Chinatown, it has been hard and difficult to see many cases of hate crimes around my community and across the world. And some cases that stood out to me was when I saw a video through social media where an 80-year-old grandpa was pushed at the corner of the street when he was about to cross the street. And he did not do anything to that person, but he got pushed and they just left. And it just angers me because how can there be people and things that are willing to steal from stores that I would regularly go to? And it saddens me that they have to add more security cameras and more wooden boards to protect other people, to protect their community and their stores and themselves just because of hate crimes. And I would always see children studying at the corner of their stores, and I would always see them playing freely as customers interact with each other. And from what I remember, when I was in elementary school, I would attend this after-school program called Oasis. And I remember that my friends and I would always go to the supermarket across our school playground, and we would go and purchase our little after school snacks without our guardians because we were all a community, and we would always go into the supermarket and say hello to the auntie cashiers and ask them how their day was as we paid for our snacks. And it was a really safe and loving community before, and so it definitely is very sad to see see how now there are stores that are having to spend more and do more to protect themselves and their community.
Like Keisha said, like the increase of hate crimes in Chinatown is like really, really sad. I think I saw like the statistics somewhere. It was like a 1,900% increase in hate crimes, and that's like shocking and like scary. Because like it's the community that we are there, that we were in when we were younger, and to see like that many people being attacked and like. Just having all that hate crime coming around is like, yeah, there's like really no words to describe it. And like they're attacking elderly too, like the helpless people that literally can't fight back. And yeah, like the hate crime has been going on since like the very first Asian Americans have come to the United States, like to build the railroads and everything, but like we never really hear about it. Like, I feel like a lot of the Asian American narratives are left out of history books and, like, mainstream media. And, like, it's just never really talked about until, like, recently, where there's a 1,900% increase. And then that's when people are starting to talk about it. And so I feel like there needs to be more of a presence of Asian American experiences in the media and everywhere, because, like, I feel like Asian Americans make up a large population in California. Like, it just doesn't make sense that, like, our experiences are ignored by mainstream media. Yeah, and that being said, like, the atmosphere in Chinatown is, like, completely different. I actually went to Chinatown today, and, like, I was shocked by seeing how little people were there. There's always, like, so many people of different ages, like, walking around cheerfully. Like, it's an actual community there. But, like, today when I went, I only saw, like, a couple of elderly people walking around and, like, buying groceries. And I know that Chinatown is, like, probably one of the only places that, like, elderly come together to socialize and, like, play games together. But because of COVID and, like, the rise of the hate crimes, it's just not safe for them to be out there anymore. And, like, it's just so sad to see because, like, elderly, they need that connection. And, like, they're old. And, like, they don't really have the family to be there for them. So, like, elderly basically depend on each other. But, like, when they're being attacked, like, their friends and, like, family members are being attacked. It's, like, really hard to see.
I agree with both of you. I know that Chinatown is, like, a sanctuary place for me and my family. As immigrants, they relied on Chinatown to get their groceries and my education for the first decade they moved to the United States. And knowing like COVID and how that impacted Chinatown, a lot of small businesses are doing poorly due to the xenophobia. A lot of people are scared to eat out in these small businesses, which puts them at a difficult place to afford rent and to support their families. I know that a lot of elderly go to Chinatown, like Dora said, for entertainment. My grandpa himself actually goes to Chinatown on his days off to play Chinese chess by the BART. But then now that with the increase of violence happening towards the Chinese elderly population, my dad is scared for life and does not let him leave the house. He would actually drive my grandpa to work. He's 75 and he's working at a Korean supermarket, and all of my grandpa's kid would take turns driving him to and from work, so any accidents or incidents would be avoided if they were to happen to my grandpa. Like, I'm so furious hearing all these cases across the country and like the violence toward our community, because that could be my grandpa who was walking on the streets of Chinatown and he could be dead like any second after the attacks. It's just crazy because it's happening not just in Oakland, Chinatown, or Bay Area, like not just in Oakland, San Francisco, but all over the nation. Some cases that like really got me furious is a Filipino man in New York got slashed on his face in a New York subway. He was just sitting there and a man approached him and kicked his bag. When he confronted the man, the guy took out like a pocket knife and slashed him across the face, and he got 100 and more stitches at the hospital. And even in Texas, a father and two children were in Sam's Club when they got stabbed because the person who stabbed them thought they were Chinese, but in fact they were Burmese. And just like a lot of these incidents are happening all over the nation, not just in the United States, but also in Vancouver, I know there is a 878% increase of hate crimes in Vancouver. So it's just very scary to see how Asian American community is being attacked. And it just feels like the whole world is blaming like Chinese or Asian Americans for creating COVID, but it just happened to have an outburst in China first. So moving on, let's just talk about if you ever experienced some racism or any sorts of discrimination towards your race growing up in America prior to COVID. Do you think you have been treated differently due to your culture? And have you noticed a difference after the pandemic on how others have treated you for being Asian?
I guess I could start off by saying how racism is basically visual and like the visual aspects of what people see, like ties into the existing stereotypes about like whatever race you are. And like, people don't really see me as a Chinese American at first glance because my skin tone is like darker than most Chinese American women. My facial features aren't like your typical like Chinese Asian American woman. And so there's like a disconnect between how I see myself and how other people see me. And even when I was working at a Vietnamese Chinese restaurant during my high school days, a lot of the customers would assume that I didn't know how to speak Chinese because of the way I looked and like would say stuff in front of me, thinking that I didn't understand them. And when I responded to them, they would be shocked and be like, oh, you know how to speak Chinese? And like, yeah, that just goes to show like how visual like visions might be like misleading.
But yeah, building off of what Dora said, definitely have experienced racism. And as a typical first generation, my parents were immigrants from China, so I basically inherited all of my Asianness. And so I didn't know what was quote-unquote Chinese like and what was the cool American like. And I remember I was that one kid in school that would have to beg my parents to get me cool shoes at the time, which were Converse and Nike shoes, and cool clothes to fit in, because I would have had been judged to have fake branded clothes and shoes that were made from China, even though a lot of popular brands' clothes were somehow also made from China. And growing up, I would always have haircuts at home, and I would always get the typical China bangs haircut, and it would look so choppy. It was so bad, and I would always get made fun of because of how choppy and the China bangs of my hair. And I remember one time I was the only kid in my table because we had to sit in alphabetical order in the cafeteria room, and I brought a thermos that was filled with Chinese soup that my mom spent hours making, but because the soup had a strong fermented smell, I was like scared to be judged and called names by my peers. So I decided to go to the girls' bathroom and put it all down in the drain. And at the moment, I felt so terrible and so guilty from doing that. But in my mind, what was more terrifying was being judged because I brought and non-American food to school. And so that was a few of my experiences that I had to like prevent myself from being the non-American version of myself.
That's so funny you mentioned that, because I also had like very bad lunch experience bringing Chinese food to the table. I remember in elementary school, we had to sit in alphabetical order, and I happened to always end up across a white boy. And one time I was eating wonton in my thermos, and I remember he just stood up and looked around, and he referred to my lunch and said, "What is that smell?" And I remember at that moment, I was so embarrassed. Like, my face actually felt like it was on fire. I was really confused as to why he put me on the spot. I actually really enjoyed my lunch, but I felt ashamed of it after that experience. Like Keisha said, I actually also went to an elementary school, the same school that Keisha went to in Chinatown, and I transferred to a more diverse middle school, and it was a big culture shock because in Lincoln, I would connect with my teachers and speak Chinese to them. But then when I was in middle school, like everyone was eating different foods and like there was less Chinese students and classmates. There was actually another incident where I was eating this dim sum food, lo mai gai, and it was sticky rice wrapped in banana leaf. And I got made fun of eating leaf. And this classmate who actually sat next to me, who was mixed, she was Asian and white. She actually defended my lunch and she educated whoever was like making fun of my lunch that like it's really good.
Yeah, and Evan, adding on to like what you guys said about food, it's kind of funny how we were made fun of it when we were younger, but now as we grow up, like our food has become popular and like it's like the go-to thing now. Like you hear people going be like, what's your favorite food, and they mention like Chinese food or like sushi. But then when we were younger, we'd be made fun of and be like, ew, what is that? So it's like funny how like the tables have turned, and then they like things because it's popular and like mainstream, but when it's a part of our culture, they're like, ew.
Yeah, like adding on to Dora, like the jade example, because I remember my grandma gifted me this jade bracelet. It was so delicate and you basically wear it for years, but then like I remember being made fun of it and I like convinced my grandma to help me take it off. And the only way, like you can't break a jade bracelet if you're if you've seen one before, it only goes in and the only way it comes out is through your wrist. You can't break it or else like it's broken, like you can't wear it anymore. So I actually convinced my grandma to like help me take it off, and I actually went through so much pain and soap to like make it slip off my hand so I wouldn't be made fun of for wearing like what my grandma gifted to me and what like we both saw as delicate and precious to us.
And also one thing to add on that I remembered about my experience with racism is that it was really interesting to see and view like back then when there was like any like Chinese characters or any Japanese characters or Korean characters in our like classmates' lunches or on homework or on textbooks. They would come to me and ask me like, oh, what does this say? And I would say, oh, I don't know, but then they would answer me back, but aren't you Asian? Aren't you Chinese? And I'll be like, yes, I am, but I am also a Chinese born American or an American born Chinese, meaning that there are some, like, you should also know that like I wasn't educated and I don't educated on my language as much. I only know how to speak and not write, and so they don't really understand that like, oh, there are also like Chinese like students around my age that are born in America. Like they just assume all of us are like immigrants that like came here from like China and like taking like the United States away from them. And so it was like interesting to see how like they expect us to know everything about the language, even though like sometimes we only know how to speak because we're in an American school, in an American setting.
Going back to like when we talked about the violence towards the Asian American community for justice, have you seen any responses towards the violence, like any reactions, and how are your families and community responding to the result of increase of xenophobia?
Yeah, we definitely see more people stepping up and taking actions. Like I know a group on Instagram called Asians with Attitude. They're like rallying and fundraising for like younger generation American Asian Americans to like come together, like basically create a sense of solidarity between the Asian American communities. They're like sharing posts to like inform everyone about what's going on. And I know there's like volunteers who like volunteer to help walk elderly around in Chinatown. And today when I went to Chinatown, I saw like these men in orange vests patrolling the streets and like just asking store owners if they're okay, if they're like, if they see anything suspicious or like anything like that. I think doing this creates a sense of solidarity and community that like tells us that we're there for each other. Yeah, my parents often go down to Chinatown, and like me and my sister are like, you know that these things are happening, like try not to go there as much. But like, you know how stubborn some Asian American parents are, like they don't really listen to us, so they're like, we're fine, and then they just go. So then yeah, they're like, we're careful, like we got this, you don't have to worry. But like, you really never know, because yeah, it's just the society we live in. It's like really hard to deal with. And I also think that there needs to be more action being done, like, yes, like creating a space where people can walk around safe are like a good start. But I feel like there needs to be more, and like more questions being answered about like, how do we protect people in our community despite like their color, their race, their like age and all that stuff.
Similar to Dora, like I've also seen the men in orange vests like patrolling the streets. I know there's like a group of men and women around their 50s and 60s just patrolling if they have nothing else to do. And also I know that this volunteer bought like approximately around 500 air horns to pass out to folks in Chinatown, so in case of anything happening, they would just blow the air horn to capture attention if there's like a robbery case.
And I'm building off of what you guys said earlier, and even though we Asians are always stereotyped to be quiet, we are protesting and we are volunteering, like Dora said, and we have events, and we have social media like Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and TikTokers that are constantly educating people about our Asian culture and what our Asian community is experiencing right now. And because of all these hate crimes that we're getting, my family has personally been avoiding Chinatown and avoiding going out every single week to grocery shop, because and it's definitely difficult because our home and our community is being invaded, and because of all these violent activities, what I found very proud of is that our two Asian Hollywood actors, Daniel Wu and Daniel Kim, offered a $25,000 reward for whoever can get on information about the guy that pushed a 91-year-old Asian man in Oakland, Chinatown recently. So Asian lives matter. We matter, and we're going to step up when our brothers and sisters are being discriminated.
Well, that's so inspiring to hear how both Daniels are taking action. I actually really look up to both of these actors, very handsome individuals. And they're taking actions to help the Asian American community and using their platform to raise awareness of this. Moving on, like, how do you feel about the vandalization of the cultural monuments or the symbolism in representation of the Asian American community, like the cherry blossom trees in San Francisco that got destroyed over the course of 3 nights, and the Year of the Ox statue that got destroyed and vandalized in Union Square, San Francisco? Has your pride in being Asian American changed due to how people are treating Asian Americans after COVID struck?
Yeah, it definitely hurts to see that our property, our glory, and what we see as a huge achievement and something that we admire and look up to is being vandalized. And it shows that there is no respect, and it also shows that we don't have a voice to speak up and not accepting our opinions. And it feels like our freedom has been taken away through these vandalism.
Yeah, adding on to Keisha, it's like really frustrating to see that these things are happening. The cherry blossom trees, like the Year of the Ox statue,
culture and like other buildings are a huge part of our culture, and it has ties to hundreds of years of history. Like there's like stories that go way back in like Chinese and like Japanese culture, like regarding these symbols, and like the fact that people who don't understand our culture and traditions are doing these out of hate for like a general population is frustrating and illogical, because like it devalues our culture and traditions, and like it's just a huge sign of disrespect. And I feel like my pride in being Asian American has changed, because like I feel kind of like more prideful that I'm Asian American. Like I feel like I have the platform to like stand up for myself and my people, and like I just want to learn more about my history, because like happening, and like I feel like it's just like people who don't know about our history are doing this, like people that don't have any idea like what we went through as immigrants, as like refugees, as like people who escaped from our home country to come for a better life, and then we're faced with this in America.
Yeah, I agree with both of you. Like I see it also as a huge sign of disrespect, and I don't see it as simple as just vandalism. Like there are so many things out there you can vandalize, like anything, but when you vandalize something so symbolic, like you're just making a statement. In my perspective, when you vandalize the cherry blossom trees, you're not just destroying like a part of nature, you're tearing down history and the representation of the Japanese heritage and culture. Like Dora said, it goes way back hundreds and probably thousands of years, probably till the establishment of Japan. And not only are these a symbolism of Japantown, but a lot of families have connections with these trees. I know like there's an annual Japanese cherry blossom festival that happens in Japantown. And even though this event won't be happening this year due to COVID, these trees will not blossom for another few years. And who knows, maybe the next few decades. And just how these both like two events aligned with each other, it's super disrespectful. Like even one case of like probably the Japanese trees being vandalized is already heartbreaking, but to see the ox and the cherry blossom tree being damaged at the same time is just a huge message towards the Asian American community, saying how we're not being respected and something that we take pride in is being destroyed. Even though the ox statue is fixed within like the week, it's still very heartbreaking to see, because it is an very auspicious statue and it represents how the year would play out for us, because in Chinese culture, how we start off the year is how we carry the year on, and Lunar New Year is just like so big in Asian cultures. Thank you for sharing your thoughts on that. How do you think other communities could help contribute to these issues to create mutual aid?
Other communities can help out by volunteering for the Asian communities. They can watch videos on our history to be more educated about the Asian American communities. And first of all, they can understand, and this is very relatively important at this current time of event, that the coronavirus is not the China virus, and to know that we are not responsible for the virus that has been spreading around, and we need to be protected. And as we all know, TikTok is the most popular and used platform amongst today's generation, and so it is definitely good to start young and to learn more about the Asian culture and Asian community to prevent future racism and discrimination towards our Asian community, because I believe that racism isn't naturally born. Racism is taught. And so it is very important to correct the misinformation and the stereotypes that we Asians get.
Yeah, adding on, I feel like we should create a sense of solidarity in the community by coming together and learning about each other's culture, because we all come from different backgrounds and grow up in very different, like we were all brought up very differently, but together we can fight against, we can fight the battle against oppression and the system in order to create the change in the world that we live in. Asians versus Blacks or versus Latinos or whatever like that. I feel like we're all in this together, and like spreading awareness about what is going on in the world is so important. And like, we could also donate to mutual funds and volunteer to help each other out, because it's the minorities against the system that's oppressing us.
Yeah, those are great suggestions to help contribute to this issue to create mutual aid. Thank you both Dora and Keisha for your time to interview with us. It was such a nice conversation.
Conversations with these two young Asian American women has highlighted how the Asian American community is under attack due to hate and prejudice, made even worse by the pandemic. Asian Americans are often seen as the model minority. This myth is dangerous. Asian Americans do face discrimination and challenges in this country like any other groups. Asians living in the United States are more vulnerable than ever. Just like others, many live in fear of catching the virus. But on top of that, Asian Americans fear violence from their peers and neighbors as they step outside their own homes. This brings up important questions. How do these attacks take away from the Asian community? What can we do to help the Asian American community? When and how are these attacks going to stop? We invite our listeners to imagine how hard it is to live in the fear during the times of COVID. Worrying for the safety of your whole family, and to consider what you can personally do to help stop these racist attacks and to help support Asian Americans and other vulnerable communities. Thanks for tuning in. Until next time.